today on Compassion Radio.
God uses dreams in different contexts to remind people of what God has revealed already in Scripture and the power of God through the Holy Spirit to guide and to comfort people.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Around the world and across every division of man, the kingdom of God is moving. This is the Daily Radio Journal that tells you how and where. And we remind our listeners why every chance we get. Thanks for joining us today. This is the third installment of a special survey of God's work around the globe as the 21st century ramps up. And the Lord is certainly busy. He's wasting no time in this generation winning souls and growing His family. This time, we'll take a closer look at the epic changes occurring under the radar in Africa. Here's Norm to reintroduce our special guest for this series.
All right, our guest today, we're delighted to have him back for our series on what God is doing around the world in growing the church all around the world, is our dear friend, Dr. Charles Farhadian, the chairperson of the Religious Studies Department at Westmont College, and I always have to say my alma mater. Charlie, it's wonderful to have you back again for a third day. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Norm, and appreciate your time.
We want to get right to it. Focus on today's Compassion Radio program in this third in our series about what God is doing around the world is on the continent of Africa. Charlie, before we began speaking on the air, we were talking about the fact that there's been an amazing reversal taking place with regard to the situation of the church in Africa. You pointed out that Christian missionaries are now coming to us from Africa, evangelizing here in the United States of America. And I guess we could call that a great reversal. What about that, Charlie? That's pretty amazing.
That's right, Norm. I think if there's one general comment we could say about the continent of Africa, of course, it's massive with 54, 55 states in the continent itself, but that this is a very dynamic church, very diverse, and the church in Africa is sending missionaries outside the continent. You mentioned to the West, places like the United States, but also to Northern and Western Europe. Some of the largest churches in the United Kingdom are pastored by African pastors.
Is that right?
And yeah. And what's fascinating about that, one of the things, is that many of the African pastors are bringing their understanding of Christian faith to these new locations. So they're bringing healing practices, the importance of prayer and dreams as a way to understand how God is working. So they're actually beginning to transform our understanding of Christianity, even in the West.
That's amazing. Charlie, I mentioned to you before we began to record this program that during the period of time that I was very active traveling in Sudan, the figure came to me that even in the northern part of that country, which is very clearly a Muslim-majority part of Sudan, is that the church was multiplying at a rate of 9% per year. That, to me, was a phenomenal figure, given the fact that Christians are very definitely a persecuted minority in that part of Sudan.
That's right. And I don't know enough about that particular context, but I would imagine part of the growth is due to the persecution that the church experiences in Khartoum and outside that capital region. But also, what I would be interested in knowing, I don't have the answer to this, is how many Arab Muslims are joining the church. In other words, how much is the church growing by conversion? I would find that interesting as well.
Absolutely.
And again, I would almost want to hear what you have to say about that, because you've been to that area so many times.
You mentioned, Charlie, and I'm eager to get to this, that you had statistics that are absolutely mind-boggling when it comes to the matter of church growth in Africa.
Well, first of all, let me give you some basic statistics on Africa. Again, we're talking about a huge continent, 54, 55 countries, over a billion people, 50% of all Africans are 19 years old or younger. So as a continent, this is a pretty young population. Over 1,000 languages, probably closer to 2,000 languages on the continent. So this is massive. In terms of Christian growth, and these are figures I'm pulling from research at Pew Forum, other research from that's been published by Oxford University Press and other places. In the year 1900, continent-wide, there were only 9 million Christians throughout the continent. By the year 2000, so 100 years later, more than 380 million Christians.
My goodness. That's amazing.
So today, of the 380, about 147, 150 million of those Christians are part of what's called the Renewalist Movement or the African Independent Church Movement. And these are more Pentecostal, charismatic type Christians. And this is a very dynamic side of the church in Africa. That means another figure that will blow our minds, I think, is about in the mid-1980s, there were over 16,500 conversions a day on the continent. And that's a huge continent. 16,500 conversions a day. So there's a huge annual growth rate of 6 or 7 million believers.
Now, you mentioned independent churches, and there certainly is a tremendous amount of growth happening among Pentecostal churches there. This is quite a change, isn't it, from colonial days when I would assume that as European countries like the UK and France and were colonizing Africa, they were bringing the sort of mainline denominational groups representative of those countries, a Roman Catholic Church also. How do you explain this tremendous explosion of independent and Pentecostal churches on that continent?
No, it's a great question. And the answer in part is a criticism of their perspective that says that Christianity and colonialism have always been bedfellows. In other words, many people have said, well, the European colonizers forced Christianity on Africans and the Africans were just passive. They just received it. They had no dignity. They had no agency, no power, etc. Well, if that were the case, then when the era of colonialism was dismantled and the European powers mostly went back to their own countries, Christianity would have declined. In fact, it's really clear that in the post-colonial period, after the Europeans went back to Europe and elsewhere, the church throughout Africa, and particularly sub-Saharan Africa, really took off dramatically in terms of numbers of believers and also the way it was contextualized and made more relevant for the African people. So that's, you know, some people call that the African-initiated churches, the AICs, and there's so many of these different AICs throughout Africa, some that emphasize praying, some that emphasize healing, an amazing array of churches that grew out of the mainline Protestant churches, some during the colonial period, but many after the colonial period as well.
It's very difficult for me not to begin to think in terms simply of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the way I tend to think about things very often, Charlie. That is that in the economy of God, certain nations, certain continents, I suppose we could say, are given these special moments when the Holy Spirit is operating in a particularly powerful way. And we can explain all kinds of these things in terms of colonial impact or anger toward colonialism, reactions to this, reactions to that, and so forth. But it would seem to me, at least in part, that the Holy Spirit has simply chosen to become powerfully active in certain places at certain times. And could it be that in this late 20th century and early 21st century, that this is Africa's hour in terms of the move of the Spirit of God in that part of the world?
Yeah, clearly. And I think if you ask any scholar, Christian or non-Christian, where is the center of growth of Christianity today? It's the continent of Africa. I think it's fair to say if you were to line up all the Christians in the world, as though that would be possible, and looked at them visually, most of them would have dark skin. And so if the statistics continue as they are today with the growth of the church on the continent of Africa as it is, then there's a pretty good chance the continent of Africa will have the most Christians of any continent in the world. So it's fair to say, not that the church is Afrocentric, but that we ought to take the church in Africa very seriously. That has surprised everyone, because I think most people thought years ago that Islam would overwhelm all of Africa. But that just has not been the case. I mean, today there are, in my last check, about 43% of Africa is Christian, some form of Christianity. And then about 40% would be Muslim. You know, that's actually quite shocking. And I think Christianity will continue to grow. And again, back to what we started with, the church in Africa will continue to evangelize outside of the African continent.
You know, something that I find very interesting also, Charlie, and our guest again today is Dr. Charles Farhadian, chairman of the Religious Studies Department at Westmont College, a missiologist and expert in this whole area, answering the question, what is God doing around the world today? We get these news stories that come right now out of places like Nigeria, and of course, that's a country with the largest population of any country in Africa. There has been this battle going on, this sort of competition, often it seems very violent, between Christians and Muslims for the soul of that great country. And so often we get the impression, I think, those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, that as we see radical Islam doing terrible things, carrying out despicable acts of violence and so forth, I'm thinking about the kidnapping of girls, Boko Haram there in Nigeria, which has gotten a great deal of press in recent months, you get the impression that we're losing, that Christianity is really under the gun and losing out. However, I can remember one time when I was at the Oxford Center for Mission Studies there in the magnificent city of Oxford in England, and I was talking to a young Anglican bishop. He was quite young. In fact, I was surprised at how young he was, given the fact that he was a bishop. I asked him about that. Maybe it wasn't very respectful of me to say this, but I said, "You're so young. How can you be a bishop already?" And in particular, he was a bishop in the north, where Islam is the majority population. He said to me, "Well, let me tell you something that you may not know." He said, "I am an Anglican bishop." He said, "What people don't seem to understand in the West is that the church is growing in the north of Nigeria so profoundly that the Anglican Church is having to find young people to become bishops of new dioceses that are being established in that part of Nigeria to accommodate all of the new believers, all the converts that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ." And I said, "Well, that's amazing." And he said, "Yes, and that's the reason that a young guy like me and many others like me, we are being called on to become bishops of these new dioceses because the conversion rate to Christ is so great, so high in this Muslim sector of Nigeria." It just absolutely blew me away to hear this young man say that. What's your response to that, Charlie?
There might be some similarities with what's happening in the Sudan. That is, persecution forces people to make a decision. And I think of Tertullian, who actually is from the north part of the continent, an early church father, said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. In these highly contested, really challenging contexts, I think people are having to make decisions. And I think back to what the Bible says, there's power in the good news. There's power in the gospel. And I think young and old find that if they could hear the gospel in a clear, relevant way.
Compassion Radio is active in countries all around the world. Here's how we're making a difference in the world this month.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. The pastor shepherd of thousands of house churches to whom our Bibles are going to go has asked if we could get the Bibles to him in time this year to give to people at Christmas. We know that for every Bible we place, there will be four or five people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day. Now, can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks.
Now, as an added incentive to send your money for Bibles for China this year, we want to provide you, at your request, for your gift of $25 or more, a very inspiring book that Norm has chosen for you specifically called The Grave Robber, or How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. It's written by Mark Batterson, who's a New York Times bestselling author. This is a 275-page paperback book, and it reveals the incredible power of the seven miraculous signs of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. These are not only things Jesus did in the past, but also something he wants to do now in the present. Mark shares true stories of people who are witnessing the countless miracles, big and small, that we take for granted every day. These miracles point us toward the one who healed the sick, calmed the storm, and even raised the dead. And if you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, you will love this faith-building, life-giving message. This is recommended by Pastor Rick Warren and by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. So make this your first Christmas project this year. Give for Bibles for China, and then request for your gift of $25 or more this wonderful book called The Grave Robber.
Will you join us? 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
I would say also, because of what you've said, not only about what's happening in Sudan, but also northern Nigeria, this is also a challenge to the church in the West and worldwide to think of how we could partner, fellowship, at least pray for these people, and then learn from them as well. I mean, here in the West, right, we're not often forced to make a decision that will cost our life. One way or another. But I could imagine how the church in Nigeria could be so challenging to us personally as Christians in the West because of the kind of decisions and strength that they have in that context. So yeah, I think persecution is one of the main factors, isn't it, for pushing people and asking people, what do you really believe? We need to pray for those folks in northern Nigeria, especially as Sharia law may or may not make a place for the secular persons or the religious minorities in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really, over a long period of time, we in the West have slighted the continent of Africa because so much of the Christian faith has been passed on to us from Africa, hasn't it? I mean, historically, church history is replete with theological and ecclesiastical influences coming out of essentially from the north of Africa. Why is that? Why have we been so slow to appreciate the contributions of Africa to the Christian faith that we have inherited, Charlie?
Well, the first lesson is that basic lesson in history, and that is to acknowledge that Christianity started in Africa in the first century. We could look at some of the earliest church fathers and the disciples and others who were in the continent of Africa. Think of Egypt, that's in Africa. Augustine of Hippo, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Origen, Cyprian, Athanasius, many of the early church fathers. So Christianity in Africa, in a sense, is not new. Early forms of Christianity in Ethiopia, really exciting forms of Christianity throughout the continent. So it's a good question. So often we think in the West of Africa, we have so many negative stereotypes. Some of those might be partly true in terms of Africa being the church of the poor. But as you know, there's major urban centers, there's major intellectual centers, there's a university life, there are huge churches throughout some parts of Africa. So in many ways, we in the West would have so much to gain by having fellowship with our brothers and sisters throughout the continent there.
You know, you mentioned something, Charlie, and I hate to even entertain the idea that we're going to need to bring this chapter to a close on today's Compassion Radio. But you mentioned how important it is for us to begin to think more and more in terms of partnering with brothers and sisters in Christ in the continent of Africa. That is so important. We've had the privilege and opportunity to do that in relation to Sudan, and this is not the time to go into that, but how can we be a little more open and aggressive in finding ways to stand together with our brothers and sisters in Christ? You mentioned that they're coming to evangelize us in the West from Africa. Maybe a partnership would be good for the church in America, a partnership of this nature.
That's right. I think everyone can pray. That's something that everyone can do, is getting together, making it part of the service on Sunday, not just a special prayer group that meets to the side, but remember the church in very specific contexts throughout Africa, bringing stories in, maybe music, maybe even videos, to show the dynamic nature of Christian worship in Africa. Also, for those congregations that could afford it, maybe sending a team over for partnership and learning, being good listeners, and asking what can the church in the West do to help serve and serve alongside those on the continent. Of course, it's a massive continent. And then another idea would be to invite church leaders or Christian lay people from Africa into, you know, the church, our local churches, and host them and let them live with American families and hear their stories. Let them preach. Let them tell their stories. My church has been doing that here locally, so we're very committed to a particular region in Africa that has a sports outreach ministry, and through playing soccer and other kinds of sports, a lot of kids are becoming Christians, and they're also going to school. They're learning simple health care. Some are going to college. There's a story about a young girl who grew up in a very poor life situation, and now she's one of the best chess players in her country, and she's now in the international chess tournaments. And that's just because our church and a few others are supporting the ministry to that particular region of the world.
That's a marvelous idea. I'm happy to say that a grandson of ours has made his second trip to Ethiopia with his local church youth group. And they've had a fantastic experience there in that country. As you say, one of the seedbeds of Christianity, just in general, but certainly Ethiopia is one of the great nations with a tremendous history. Charlie, talking about the impact of dreams as a means of the communication of God to his church, and this being such an important dimension of life in Africa, spiritual life in Africa, tell us a little more about that.
You know, when you think of dreams in the West, and I think we've been so impacted by Freud, we think of something that maybe scared us or some message that came to us, and we psychoanalyze or we psychologize, and we say, well, that was just the burrito I had last night, you know, something in my digestive tract. But the fact is that in many of the African churches, Christians believe that God uses dreams as another source of knowledge, that God uses them to communicate a message. And it's quite biblical, isn't it? You think of the Old Testament stories of God using dreams. So maybe a grandmother will appear, maybe Jesus will appear, or somebody else will appear in somebody's dream and say, I want you to do this with your life, or don't do that. And that's the kind of Christianity that's also, in small ways, being reintroduced or introduced for the first time here in the West through the African mission movement to the West.
Charlie, let me just ask you a little follow-up question on that. I can imagine some of our listeners thinking, well, now, wait a minute. Isn't it true that the written word of God that we have in the Bible is the source of God's infallible word to us? Are we getting into an area here that is a little bit on the fringe of the best source of revelation that we already have? How would you deal with that question, Charlie?
It's a great question. In many ways, it is on the fringe. I know at least for folks in the West, it is, because we do want to affirm God's revelation, the canon, the Bible, as the completed word of God. You know, we can't add anything to it. But one way to see it is that God uses dreams in different contexts to remind people of what God has revealed already in Scripture and the power of God through the Holy Spirit to guide and to comfort people. So the reason why it's on the fringe, because some churches on the continent, I think of Simon Kimbangu's church, for instance, the Kimbanguists of the Congo, they've been kicked out of large ecumenical meetings, in part because of dreams, in part because they have such a high view of Simon Kimbangu as a prophet. So everything has to be filtered, in a sense, through Scripture. Even the dreams. Dreams can be used as a vehicle to affirm what is in Scripture.
You know, Charlie, it's been wonderful to have you back again with us as we've considered the continent of Africa. We're going to have you back again tomorrow, and we're going to be considering another of the great continents of the world and learning more about what God is doing in this world of His. It's been great to have you with us. We look forward to having you back again with us tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Norm.
We hope you've all heard the word that this year our Bibles for China campaign is in October instead of in December, because the pastor through whom the Bibles will be distributed has asked if we could get the Bibles to him so that he can give them as Christmas gifts to the Chinese Christian who's longing for one. So give your best gift for our Bibles for China campaign today.
Remember, your gift of even $6 can provide new Bibles to Christian Chinese missionaries who are spreading out all across Central Asia. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $120 provides 20 Bibles, $600 provides 100 Bibles, and so on.
This is perhaps the most exciting time that we've ever experienced in the history of Compassion Radio. However, the enemy does not approve of an activist radio ministry gaining greater access and influence in territory that he regards as his own. So, he's hitting us in the pocketbook. Contributions to Compassion Radio dropped off to the point where we are presently receiving only one half of what we need to continue broadcasting on this your station. What I'm saying, my friend, is we need an immediate turnaround in listener contributions to reverse this emergency. Since we are a 100% listener-funded program, we must turn to you and ask you to send the most generous gift that you can send. We are approved by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. My friend, if you value the work that Compassion Radio is doing around the world, please respond today.
Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also give through our secure website, CompassionRadio.com. And be sure to ask about this month's special offer when you contact us today. You'll also find plenty of interesting information in our Facebook community. That's Facebook.com/CompassionRadio. I'm Bram Floria. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Compassion Radio.